Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, we're going to go down east to southwest in this particular segment. I welcome Sheila Lewinsky to the line. How are you today, Sheila?
Good. How are you, Zara?
Terrific. Very good. In fact, we met courtesy of the Tucson Festival of Books through Tammy Greenwood's segment, who was on the show earlier. Let me introduce Sheila. She's the associate editor of the Arizona Jewish Post, where she has been for 10 years, starting there contributing as a freelance journalist. A lifelong writer, Sheila drove her car from Maine to the southwest, as she wrote, singing the entire journey to Greg Brown CDs, at the time really not knowing what she was doing or where she was going to come to Tucson. At age 56, she'd had enough of the ice and snow, appropriate certainly for a very brutal winter they had in the New England area this year. She quit teaching social studies at Mountain Desert High School in Maine. She drove west in an old Toyota, stopping at a yoga and health center in Lenox, Massachusetts, where she spent 10 days on her way to then becoming a yoga dance instructor. So as she said, the new dance had begun. A mother of two children, education was always Sheila's first career, having received a Master of Arts in Teaching degree following her political science undergraduate work. From teaching, her second career was owning the Oz Children's Bookstore for 15 years in Southwest Harbor, Maine, where she then ultimately closed and circled back to teaching. She also wrote Branching Out, a column about social studies books in Appleseed's Children's Magazine. She's contributed to Publishers Weekly and book reviews for the American Bookseller. So I still see that common thread of writing, something you've done your entire life, I assume.
Yes, that's true, Zara. And I feel like I have circled around. I like that comment that you made, from always being a teacher and a writer. So even though I've gone from down east Maine, or come from down east Maine to I came from Southwest Harbor, Maine, to the Southwest,
right,
and Mount Desert Island to the desert, here to write, and I did teach here for a while, but everything has always been related to teaching and writing.
And writing as well. You're currently with the Arizona Jewish Post then, and as associate editor. I have a copy in front of me, of course, and I always love the serendipity of things when you start flipping through it, and lo and behold, what do I encounter but a photograph of Dr. Randy Aronson, the veterinarian who does its show the 2 hours before mine from Paws Veterinary Center. What an interesting paper that's been pulled together. What's the history of this magazine?
Well, actually, it is a newspaper that's published by the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona. It's as old as I am. It started in 1946, so it's about 68 years old. And the idea is to bring news of the Jewish community to readers. Oddly enough, someone picked it up last year in the Hotel Congress and rented my house in Maine from an ad in there. So it has a distribution all over Tucson. It has events for the Jewish community, but also features, which I'm most interested in writing. And I do a lot about health, about individual people. I cover mental illness and health issues that are important all over the city of Tucson, which is how I got into one of my more recent kind of sub-careers, I would say, writing A Certain Slant of Light with our Place Clubhouse writers, emerging from the shadows of mental illness, yes, which I'm sure you'll want to ask me
in
about
fact,
at some point.
Take us right there. In fact, I was going to ask you the introduction, the exposure, or your finding that passionate place to now write and explore of mental illness.
Well, I had written a book. I'd written a feature for the Arizona Jewish Post some years ago about Jewish psychiatrists and the incidence of mental illness in the Jewish community. And I then got a call from Mindy Bernstein, who's the executive director of Our Place Clubhouse It's actually the Coyote Task Force, which includes the clubhouse, job training, and a place for people with serious mental illness to go, and Cafe 54 and the Three Thread Shop on the corner of Pennington. And she said, I read your article and I liked it so much. Would you be interested in being on the board? Well, that was about 9 years ago.
You never know. Yeah.
And yes, and I started working with two people who have schizophrenia on their writing, editing their writing, and one of whom has is working on her autobiography. And after the shooting on January 8th, 2011, she said to me, what is it with people? Why do they think that anyone who has a mental illness might just pull out a gun and start shooting at any time? And I can go on about that for a long time. And I said, we need to do something about this. I would say the clear theme or thread in my life has been wanting to make a difference, and I'm a child of the 60s, wanting to change the world.
Exactly, and to see that there's avenues for advocacy that either pop up to you or you're attracted to go to them.
That is absolutely true. It took me about a year to let this person's comments sink in, and then I kind of had an epiphany. I kept thinking, we have to do something about this. And then I said, I'm a writer, I'm an editor, right. We can get this group together and we are going to write a book. And we did it.
And I think that's anyone who's in the creative space, whether it be writing or visual artist, most certainly the power of the pen really carries. It's much mightier than the sword, or as my son says, and it doesn't hurt nearly as much to write with it either.
Mm-hmm. I totally.
A cartoonist that can bring forward a political slant if he needs to, or commentary at the same time.
That's very cool. I agree with that, that both of my children are writers too, and more prominent and more accomplished than I am as a writer. But I get my inspiration from them.
Oh, but you know, just like we said earlier, there's a lot of circling back there, Mom, from the role modeling you did, the seeds you planted, and where they realized it or not, you know, that they were learning how to write just like my kids. We never had China in our China cabinets. It was always art supplies. Lo and behold, one's at art school and probably the second will follow into art as well. And it probably going to art school was a dream my husband and I both had.
Wow.
That's kind of manifesting through the next generation.
Well, of course, both of my children grew up at the Oz Children's Bookstore.
And I wanted you to tell us about that. The Land of Oz, the Oz Children's Bookstore, great name.
Well, my daughter, when she was 4 years old, she's now 36, came up with that name. And we were driving into Southwest Harbor, moving there from Vermont in 1978. Well, actually, she was only one then, but when she was four and I was ready to open a bookstore, she said, Mom, we love the Oz books, and they're about a nonviolent but adventurous young girl, Dorothy, and why don't you name the bookstore Oz? At the time, our last name was Walensky-Lanford, and I certainly wasn't going to call it Walensky-Lanford's bookstore.
Right.
And that's how it started. And it was in a tiny space about this big, about 250 square feet. And somebody came to my door and said, are you going to carry Harlequin romances? This is the only way you'll make it in a small town. And I said, no, I'm not. And I am going to make it. And the bookstore was the oldest children's bookstore in Maine, longest lasting, and lasted for 15 years. And it became a very near and dear to very many people's heart community resource.
I was just going to say, of course, for those of us that have raised our children through the written word and books, there was no greater adventure, whether it be go hang out at the library and bring home a box, mm-hmm. or go to the bookstore and page through what's new and then take advantage of speakers or guests or coloring projects at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's really a community spot, isn't it?
Yes, and strangely enough, wonderfully enough, I called to have more oil put in my house that I still own in Southwest Harbor. And the woman who answered the phone said to me, I still miss your bookstore. It closed in 1997.
Which, of course, too, because this is a child in your family, essentially, with the help of your children. This was another child. And then to start the adventure for the next, for you personally. But that's part of what change is all about, is letting go of something, isn't it?
Well, that's very interesting that you bring that up. I had a very dear friend in her 90s who, when I was thinking, well, what should I do now? My children are grown. I don't want to live in the ice and snow anymore. I love this community, but I want to do something different. This 90-year-old friend said to me, Sheila, it's not what you do that you regret. It's what you don't do that you regret. And I decided it was now or never. And I had been to Tucson once. And it was a small enough city for me. I'm really a nature girl, having lived most of my life on Mount Desert Island. And I said, I'm going to do it. I have no idea what's going to happen when I get there.
And that's a story that, quite frankly, a lot of our listeners who now live in Tucson, there's some element of that that pulls you here. That was the same story for my husband and I, that this was as much about the adventure. In our case, we did have a destination or reason to come. But we kind of, in fact, interestingly enough, about 2 or 3 years later after we were based here, it dawned on us that our coming here really wasn't all about what we thought it was going to be about.
Exactly.
That's another way to put it.
And I have to say, being a teacher and having my bookstore, and of course neither one of those professions are about making a lot of money. You do it out of love, and out of a love for the written word, I would say, that I found out when I went back to teaching and I had closed my store that I had an anonymous benefactor. And that's how I was able to keep having programs in Southwest Harbor for a few years, but also to come to Tucson initially. And I also want to say, as a teacher and as someone who's talking to younger people who may
think about doing this,
thinking about changes, you never know really what you teach or when someone, what someone learns at that time.
Absolutely.
It may take years till you have this learning experience. That's why I really dislike all this Common Core testing and all of that. But
that's another radio show for us.
Yes,
but I think
education.
You're right, though, for those who are in the business of giving it all away or enabling others to give it away, so to speak, is you don't know really what domino you flipped and what's going to ripple out there, whether that be for you personally or for those who are picking up on your thoughts. For example, the mere fact that it circled back to you and now you're part of this wonderful advocacy to help demystify, you know, the popular word about mental illness. It was based on an article that you wrote that someone you didn't know picked up and then picked up the phone and connected you.
Yes, and it went back to a time when I was in graduate school. I taught a psychology class at the Northampton Junior College in Massachusetts. And this is in the book. I made, I think, one of the biggest mistakes of my life, taking my psychology students to the state mental hospital and viewing human beings. And I realized that was something I really regretted. And I think that's how a lot of people see mental illness now, as others, when in fact many of us have mental illness in our families, and people with mental illness are people who have a disease like any other disease.
Yeah, that's, we can help. You mentioned earlier the you're being a child of the 60s. So how has that, do you think, now informed the journey that you continue on now?
Well, as I said earlier, and this whole show is about, I wanted to change the world, and I thought I could, and we all learn that we can, but only in our own smaller arenas. And my mentor was a historian from Boston University, a radical historian, Howard Zinn.
Oh, fabulous,
who wrote,
man.
Isn't People's that, History of the United States.
Exactly.
And over 1 million copies were sold. I sat in on his class on civil liberties, and he said, nobody is objective. And as a matter of fact, we are going down to the Boston Common to protest the war on Vietnam, which I believed was an abomination. And I went. And many years later, when I owned my bookstore, we became friends. it turned around, and there was an article written in the Bangor Daily News about me inviting him and his wife, Roz, who was the mother of all hippies, to come to my bookstore. And they did, and subsequently, every year, as I taught U.S. history, I took my AP honors class to Boston for an intellectually challenging weekend, and we had a half-day seminar with Howard Zinn.
Oh, my goodness.
And I wrote a remembrance of him in the Post, and it's quite a story. But after my family, he has been the most influential person in my life, and I miss him every day.
And, you know, to recognize that and to say that and to honor him and the type of work that Howard Zinn has done, because truly, not for the faint of heart or not to think you aren't going to be provoked when you ever pick up his, but I think more and more, and you mentioned AP U.S. History, of course, my daughter's taking her final piece of the exam tomorrow, on Monday, as a matter of fact, that this idea of critical thinking and helping people of all ages, but particularly our youth, question.
Right? We are so on the same page, Zara, Indeed. I was just going to say, I think to me that is the most important part of teaching, and I hope I instilled that in my children. My son was a stringer for the New York Times for 2 years, and he's getting his PhD now. That was what I wanted to help students feel, that they could have the confidence to ask a question of anyone. I don't believe in fame and celebrity. I think we're all human beings who should go forth and question. We can find the historical dates and research now on the internet.
Right.
And I would just say another very important event in my life was when one of my students gave her valedictory address. We're still close. And she said, I had a U.S. history teacher who taught me how to think because she encouraged me to ask questions.
Yeah. And that's exactly, I think, that precipice of point for any of our listeners who are involved in the broader field of education, and not to underestimate even parents of how we raise our children or influence other youth in our path, and that come across our path, is to have that earnest ability to answer questions, to ask the right questions. Yeah. And leaders of business, by the way, who've tuned in here. Well, Sheila, so from teaching, bookstore, writing, involvement with the Arizona Jewish Post, do you have a sense what's next, or what you're creating now that's pulling you to the next what's next?
Well, I have three writing projects in mind. I think at some point, if I ever do retire from the Post, I would like to work on my own writing. I have a children's story, a sort of semi-historical ethnography memoir, and I have further research and writing I like to do on reducing the stigma of mental illness. Yeah. We'll see. That's definitely in the cards, and I want to continue working with our Plays Clubhouse to get this book out here, A Certain Slant of Light, and help bring the reduction of the stigma of mental illness to the forefront, as I believe it should be, as the next civil rights movement.
Yeah, fabulous.
We've been around for, I think you're younger than me, but we've been here for the civil rights movement, the women's movement, LGBT. And for me, it's about people who are human beings who don't have the clout of the 1% who in this country now have more money than most of the rest of us.
Well, and that's actually the definition of advocacy, is finding a way to give voice to those who don't otherwise have a chance to speak on their own behalf. Now, that's
and
right.
Thank you for doing this show that brings that sense of advocacy and what each individual can do to our community and beyond, Zara.
And that's absolutely right. That's a mission that we all lie in. I think, you know, what, regardless of what age or stage you are in your career, your life, that there's that possibility of adding greater value, or as you started out with the the thoughts you posed to me of us talking about going from down East Maine to the Southwest, this idea that an individual can do what they can to help change the world. Sheila, thanks for being here. We'll keep track of that journey of yours.
Thank you so much.
My
it's
pleasure.
Been fun.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.